This week is Parsha Shmini. Now it's very, very sad because one of the things that people like to say over the reason why we lay in Parsha Shmini after Pesach is because we lay in Shmini 8 times. The first Aliyah of Parsha Shmini in many years, and this year in fact, it would have been that we would have lain it 8 times. Right after we lain Parsha Sav, we have to go back what day of the week it was. It could be whatever. You lain Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha, on Pesach HaLamoed. Then there's a Thursday. I don't remember all the. You make a calculation, but there are years where it's possible that you lain the first Aliyah of Parsha Shmini 8 times. Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, and then again a Monday, Thursday, and then Shabbos morning. Again, you have to go look at the calendar, how it's possible for it to work out, but it can work out. This year probably does not work out, but there is such a possibility. What's very sad is that for most of us, probably all of us, we have not even lained it once. Okay, because of the situation that we're in, the last time we heard Kriyas, the last time I heard Kriyas HaTorah was a long time ago. It's just more in your face when you come to Vayihi Bayayim HaShmini, and I always remember every year that possibility, you check the calendar, where you can lane it 8 times, but this year, unfortunately, we're not able to lane it at all. We come over here to Parsha. Let's start with something a little bit more. There's a lot of morose things about this Parsha which fit very much in line with what's going on today. We'll talk about that. But I want to bring out a point regarding Birkas Kohanim. In this week's Parsha, after Aaron inaugurates the Mishkan, Aaron, it's the 8th day of the Miluim. The Miluim began on the 23rd day of Adar. And for 8 days, Moshe Rabbeinu, he erected the Mishkan, and then immediately thereafter he took it apart, and he repeated this process every single day for 8 days. On the 8th day he assembled the Mishkan and he left it remaining in place, and they offered the special set of korbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan like they did all of those 8 days. Aaron, he lit the menorah, and Aaron offered also an elaborate set of korbanos, which are enumerated here in this week's parsha. And finally, when everything was said and done, Vayakrev, I'm over here at the end of the first Aliyah, Vayakrev es korban ha'am, Vayikach, he took esir hachatos asher la'am, Vayishchateu korishon, a special set of korbanos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded should be offered on this day, on the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. Vayakrev es ha'ola vayasek ha'mishpat, vayakrev es ha'mincha, vayimalicha po'mimene, vayakrev es ha'mizbech, mulvan olas ha'boikem. Then go into a shar, okay, further and further, vayosim es ha'chalovim. Okay, and then we come to Pasuk Chof Aleph and Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Beis, vayisa aharoin es yodav el ha'om vayivarechem. He lifted up his hands to the people. He blessed them. Vayered me'asoy sachatos v'ho'ilo v'hashlamim. And he came down. Now Rashi here says, what does it mean here? Chav b'yiso aharoin es yodav. Rashi pasuk chav beis. Vayivarechem. Vayiso aharoin es yodav el ha'om vayivarechem. Birkas koyhanim. Yivarechecha yo'er Yisa. Now the question is, wait a minute. The parsha of Birkas Kohanim was not yet taught to Klal Yisrael until Parshas Nosoi. We got a long way to go. Okay, we got to go to a new Chumash. What in the world over here do we find over here Birkas Kohanim taking place in Parshas Shemini when Birkas Kohanim was first introduced to Klal Yisrael in Parshas Nosoi? It's premature. So there are many answers. Some want to suggest is that in Ochanami, Aaron over here was the one that on his own was Mechadesh, the principal. He, in the moment, in the excitement of this moment of the Chanukah Samishkan, he had Ruach HaKodesh, and it came to him the nusach of Birkas Kohanim, and he on his own gave it over to Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that what you have done is so beautiful, so proper, so pleasant. I want this now to be the minhag for Klal Yisrael going forward, mikan ulhaba, for all generations, every single day. I want you to continue that bracha that you've given the Jewish people on the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. I want you to do it every single day. It should become part of the avodah of the Kohanim for all generations. And in Parshas Nosai, it was basically a confirmation of what Aaron had done, and Hashem wanted it to continue. We find something very similar with regard to Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was in Egypt, when he saw the Jewish people were working 7 days a week, he on his own figured it would be a great idea they should have a day off from work. He convinced Paro that it would be to his benefit that they get a day off from work in order to rejuvenate, and they'll work a lot better the other 6 days of the week. And Paro granted Moshe that request. And on that day of Shabbos, Moshe gathered the Jewish people and he taught them all about Hashem and about their history and about Torah, v'chulu v'chulu. And then when Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Hashem said, Moshe Rabbeinu, this idea that you had, that there should be a day off from work called Shabbos, you know what? Let's continue. Let's make that into one of the mitzvahs. That even though we know there's something called Shabbos Bereishis, from Maisa Bereishis, but Moshe Rabbeinu also had a chelik in the establishment of Shabbos. And that's what we say in the Nusach of Tefillah on Shabbos, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. Moshe rejoiced in the matana of your portion. Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu, it was your idea that there should be a Shabbos. You should rejoice in this day, Shabbos, Moshe, because you had a very significant chelek portion in there being a Shabbos for Klal Yisrael. Aaron had the same thing. Aaron, in regard to this very unique blessing called Birkas Kohanim, Aaron was the one who on his own, on the first day of the Hashroas Hashchina in the Mishkan, came down and he inaugurated the principle of Birkas Kohanim. And Hashem later in Parshas Nosai confirmed this bracha and said it should be done every single day by the Kohanim as part of the Avodah. That is L'cha'oira, the Pshat. Very simple Pshat. But I want to suggest a drush. And the drush is based upon the question that all of the commentators ask. Why does Rashi, when he refers to Birkas Kohanim, does he need to say Yivarechecha, Yo'er, and Yisa? If Rashi wants to reveal that Aaron, he lifted up his hands and he blessed the Jewish people, let him just say Birkas Kohanim. Why does Rashi add the words Yivarechecha, Yisa, and Yo'er? I want to answer, suggest, is that when you look carefully at the Birkas Kohanim, there are six blessings. How does the Birkas Kohanim go? Yivarechecha Hashem. May Hashem bless you. That's the first bracha. The second blessing is V'yishmirecha. May Hashem guard you. Gesundheit. Just because you give a person a bracha, okay, just because you give a bracha, that's not the end. There's more to the bracha. The bracha has to be guarded. Then we come to the third bracha. Yoher Hashem panav elecha. May Hashem shine his panim, his countenance upon you. And then comes bracha number four. V'chuneka. May he bestow upon you grace, chen. Then we come to blessing number five. Yiso Hashem panav elecha. May Hashem lift up his face. And then bracha number six, v'yosem lecha shalom. May he grant you peace. So sach hakol, there are not three blessings. There are six blessings. There are 15 words. There are 60 letters. Okay, in Birkas Kohanim there are 60 letters, there are 15 words, but there are six blessings. Yivarechecha Hashem, v'yishmerecha. Yair Hashem Panav Eilecha V'chuneka. Yisra Hashem Panav Eilecha. Number six, V'yasem L'cha Shalom. Now, if you look carefully at the barachas, you notice that the beginning of each series is to give, to bestow. And this is the second part of each expression is to retain. In other words, if I give you blessing, yivarechacha, I give you $100. You put it in your pocket, I give it to you in the street, I give it to you and you go walk in the street, when you come home, the $100 is no longer there. Where'd it go? You have a hole in your pocket. And you put it in your pocket, and as you walk down the street, it went through the hole of your pocket, and it went down your pants and fell on the floor, and it's gone. Just because you give a person a bracha does not mean the bracha will be guarded, will remain. Yivarechecha, may Hashem bless you. But you also need the bracha v'yishmerecha. The bracha v'yishmerecha, I'm trying to suggest, is doesn't just mean a separate blessing. V'yishmerecha, may Hashem guard that bracha. We simply like to understand that there are two parts. There's two separate blessings. May Hashem bless you, number one. Number two, v'yishmerecha, may Hashem give you another blessing to guard you. No! The v'yishmerecha is going back on the yivarechecha. May Hashem give you bracha, and the bracha that He gives you, may He guard it. May Hashem watch over you that blessing that you have just received, that specific yivarecha should be guarded. Next. Yoher Hashem Panav Eilecha. May Hashem shine His face upon you. And now what? The shine will just go right through you. It should have an impact. The shining of Hashem's face should land on your face and be retained to the point V'chuneka. You should be filled with chen. The chen is the absorption of Hashem's shine, Hashem's glow that has been directed your way. The last bracha, may Hashem lift up His face. It's also an expression of blessing. But so what? Hashem is looking at you. Looking at you means, oh, you want to make peace. When you don't like somebody, you don't look at them. So now, you know, for the moment, I'll look at you. Okay, and tomorrow, will you look at me tomorrow? No. Tomorrow, business as usual. Yesterday you hated me, today you hate me, so business, no. The Yosem L'cha Shalom. I want to look at you. I want to have a conversation. I want to have a relationship with you. The Yosem L'cha Shalom is the retention, is the ability to maintain that relationship. Peace. The Yosem L'cha Shalom. So what we're suggesting over here is that in the Birkas Kohanim, we have over here, what we like to think of three blessings. When the Kohanim recite Birkas Kohanim, we answer Amen three times. But the truth is, there are six blessings. So why do we only answer Amen three times if there are really six blessings? It's because it's a set. There is the giving of a bracha, and then there is the acceptance or the retention of that bracha. Aaron, I want to suggest here, when Aaron, Vayisa Aaron es yadav el ha'am bayivorechem, Aaron gave. But he didn't, at this moment in time, Aaron was not mechadesh the entire nusach of Birkas Kohanim. When Aaron, on the first day of the Miluim, when the Mishkan was inaugurated, and Aaron, in capturing the excitement of that moment, gave bracha to Klal Yisrael, the bracha he gave was only the first part of each section. He was able to succeed in having the Ribbono Shel Olam bless Klal Yisrael, shine His countenance upon Klal Yisrael, to lift up His ponim to Klal Yisrael. But Aaron was not successful in bringing forth to this world the second part of each series of the bracha of the Yishmerecha, V'chunecha, and V'yaseim L'cha Shalom. That did not come. And Parshas Nosoi, on the other hand, Parshas Nosoi is where Hashem, it's part B. Parshas Nosoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go say to Aaron, Koy Soymar Levnei Yisrael, Kedaber, Vaidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar, Daber El Aaron Vilbon of Lemar, Koy Sivaruchu Es Bnei Yisrael. Omar Lohem. And here we have the whole Nusach. Yivarecha Hashem Vishmecha, Yor Hashem Paramelach Vichunach, Yisrael Hashem Paramelach Vyasim Roshlam. And this explains the next pasuk. Visamu Eshemi Al Bnei Yisrael, Va'ani Avarechem. What does that pasuk mean? What does that mean at the end of Birkos Kavanah Parashas Nosoi? Set my name on the Jewish people and I will bless them. The first part of the bracha of Birkos Kehanim has Hashem's name. Yivarechecha Hashem. Yo'er Hashem ponav elecha. Yisof Hashem ponav elecha. The second part doesn't have Hashem's name. The second blessing, v'yishmerecha, v'chunecha, v'yaseim l'cha shalom, does not have Hashem's name. That's from Hashem. That comes directly. Hashem said to Aaron, Aaron, v'somu, you, Aaron, set my name upon the Jewish people, just like you did on the first day of the inauguration of the Mishkan on Yom HaShemini. And I, v'ani avorichem, I, Hashem, will bless them with the second clause, with the Yishmerecha, with the Chunecha, the Yoseim L'cha Shalom. This is a very difficult, what does it mean over here? There are many perushim, what this means. Some want to say, means who's going to bless the Kohanim? If the Kohanim are blessing Klal Yisrael, who's going to bless the Kohanim? So Hashem says, you do not lose that when you give bracha, I will give you bracha. Others want to learn that what it means here is that when the Kohanim give bracha, don't make a mistake and think that the Kohanim have a koyach to give bracha. When the Kohanim give the Birkas Kohanim, in truth, va'ani avarechem, they're just channeling the bracha from Hashem to Klal Yisrael through their hands. But the one that's really giving the bracha is the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to suggest here a drush is no. V'samu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael, that's the first part of each section. And that's why it says eshmi, because in that section Hashem's name appears. V'ani avorechem is Hashem now is coming to give a stamp of approval to the bracha of Aaron by telling Klal Yisrael, I am going to guarantee that it stays put, that the bracha that Aaron bestows upon Klal Yisrael is guarded. The Yishmerecha, V'chunecha, there is Shalom. I'm going to guarantee that the bracha that's being bestowed upon Aaron remains within Klal Yisrael. It's not going to escape. It's not going to disappear. It's going to be protected. That is where the Ribbono Shel Olam comes in with the words Vani Avarchem, and thus it makes a lot of sense. And now our parsha, when Aaron comes down, he gave them Birkas Kohanim, and Rashi says, what bracha did he give? Yivarechecha, Yo'er, and Yisa. It doesn't make mention that Aaron gave over, the only mentions the beginning of the bracha. And this also explains why, that after everything was done, after the bracha was given, what happens? The next pasuk reads, Vayavoy Moshe v'Aaron el oil moyed, Vayetsu vayivorchu es ha'am, Vayeroch v'oid Hashem el kol ha'am. Rashi tells us what happened. After Aaron, he did the avodah, he offered all of these korbanos, and he gave them the bracha of Birkas Kohanim. The Shekhinah still did not descend. I'll read you the words of Rashi. Vayavoy Moshe v'Aaron, lama nichnesu. Why did Moshe and Aaron enter into the Ohel Moed? Motzasi b'parshas milum b'braisa, hanesefes al teres kohanim shalanu. Lama nichnas Moshe v'Aaron, l'lamdoy al maisa ketores. Rashi goes on there to explain, either to teach them about the ketores or that they should be mispalel. The second part of Rashi explains is that the Shekhinah did not come down, and Aaron was embarrassed. He felt the reason why he did not succeed in bringing the Shekhinah down to the Mishkan was because he was instrumental in creating in the Egel, in offering the Egel. And therefore, because of his chait, he was unsuccessful in allowing the Shekhinah to rest upon Klal Yisrael. So Moshe went together with Aaron into the Ohel Moed, and they were mispalel to Hashem, and the Shekhinah finally came down. The question is, well, why? Why indeed did the Shekhinah not come down? The answer is, based upon what we just said, is because Aaron only did half. Aaron was only able to be mevakesh that Klal Yisrael have bracha. There should be yivarechecha. There should be blessing. Hashem should shine his ponim on Klal Yisrael. Hashem should look at Klal Yisrael. But these things are ephemeral. Bracha, you know, comes and goes. Just because you give a person a nice look, who says that has any... What's tomorrow? What's going to be in 5 minutes from now? Just because he looks at you, he gives you a smile. Or just because the person looks at you, so what? What do you take away from it? You need to be mispalel to Hashem that the bracha should remain. It's a very critical element in bracha. A person goes to a gadol and you ask him, please give me a bracha. Or a person does... Person does something, he has a zuchus, he does a mitzvah that takes a lot out of him. And certainly the effort he puts into doing something very special, a chesed, or let's say he learns, he spends a lot of time learning something, puts a lot of time and effort into mastering a topic, a section, a mitzvah, he does chesed, and you earn merit. But who says the merit is going to remain? Easy come, easy go. You need siyata d'shmaya, that the zuchus of your efforts are retained, are guarded. That the bracha is guarded with the yishmirecha. The success of your heir is guarded with the chuneka. The success of Yisro Hashem Ponav Elecha is guarded with shalom. For that, siyata d'shmaya, Moshe and Aaron together had to enter into the Ohel Moed and be mispalel. Aaron may have done the avoida. Wonderful, he did the avodah, he accomplished great things. He succeeded in giving Klal Yisrael a beautiful bracha. But the Shekhinah was not there. Because it's true, there was bracha, there was blessing, there was success. But success has to be retained. It has to be a hold. And for that, we need Vayavoy Moshe v'Aaron el Ohel Moed v'Yetzu v'Yivorchu es Ha'am. You need Siyata d'Shmaya, which only comes through in the form of Tefillah. Okay, let's go to another idea. In this week's parasha, you know, there are a lot of hints to a lot of the horrific things that we're experiencing now. In this week's parasha, we learned about the Misa of Nadav Aviv. Nadav Aviv, the Shnei B'nei Aaron, and after the inauguration of the Mishkan, they omakti, they took an Eish Zara, and they entered Lefnai V'Lefnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they offered Ketores, and a fire went forth from before Hashem, and they died. Now let's discuss a few different ideas, short ideas that we learn from the parasha that are very relevant for today. Why did Nadav v'Avihu die? So Chazal give, I saw the name of Dessler, he counts 12 reasons why they died. 12 different Chazal enumerate 12 chatoim. Rashi here says only one. Rashi here says they died because they entered Shesuye Yayin. They were intoxicated. They were intoxicated. And that's why they died. Because the next parasha talks about Yayin v'sheich al teisht, being that the next parasha talks about the prohibition to enter into the Mishkan in a state of intoxication. It must be, that's the reason why they die. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Loi Mesu Ne'aron El Aideh Shehoiru Halach B'fnei Moshe Rabban. Okay, the first answer given is because the Omer Rech L'fnei Rabban. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Shesuye Yayin Nichnesu L'Nikdash Teida. And the proof is Sh'amam Sh'acha Misasan Hizr HaNoisarim Shlo Yichnesu Shesuye Yayin L'Nikdash. Right after this event, we learn about the prohibition not to go into the Mishkan in a state of intoxication. Now, Chazal give another very important reason, which I think is very relevant for us, and that is, they said to each other, when will these Zakenim die? When are they going to die already so that we can take over? Moshe and Aaron, at this point in time, were no youngsters. Okay, they were not youngsters, and Nadav Avihu, they were the new, young, fresh generation. And they said to themselves, you know, there's Zakenim, and it's time for them to step aside. They should retire. And if they're not going to retire, at least they'll die in office. And then the new, young, fresh, vibrant, with it, Generation X will enter in place and we're more with the program. We'll excite Klal Yisrael. For that chutzpah, for that machshava, Mosa Yamusu Zikanim Elu, when will these Zikanim die? They were severely punished. Ayotze Eish Bilifnei Hashem, and we have a Bechil Adoris. It's not for nothing, it's not a coincidence, that this lesson is presented to us against the backdrop of the horrific events that we are seeing in front of us. In the United States alone, forget about all the rest of the world, already over 35,000 people have passed away due to this disease we call COVID-19, coronavirus. Already 35,000 people passed away. Okay, amongst us, Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, those that probably will mourn for the loss of every human being. Every human being is a tragedy. But we feel it's much more powerful when it's personal. And amongst us, at least 300 people from this community, probably a lot more. Okay, I don't know all the numbers, but something I heard before Yom Tov, that the Cheshbon, it's at least probably a lot more of people that we relate to, that it's personal to us. Now, a lot of people, you always see in the news, you get this impression, who died? A very large chunk of the people who died are people who are in nursing homes. Older people, zakenim, people whose health is compromised, people in their 80s, their 90s, upper 70s. Don't get me wrong, there were a lot of very young people who passed away. A lot of horrific tragedies. People, young people, who left over little children who were they were the picture of health. There are many, many, many tragedies. And then the vast majority of the people that have passed away are people that are elderly people, people in nursing homes. I mean, the statistics are like 40%. It could be, I don't know the exact numbers, of people that are, people that, that society, certainly in the non-Jewish world, have not paid much attention to. People that are, and we have a tendency, and certainly in the media, you get this tendency, oh, it's not so bad. They lived a full life. They had a good life. They're right now, they're sick. They're old. They're not. They're not active. They're not. They're not. They're not. They're not productive. No. So they died. So we want to look at the tragedy of the coronavirus. Let's limit the tragedy to the young people, the people who are vibrant, who are young, have families. This is a terrible, terrible chait. This is a horrific avera to think like this. We live in a society where this mindset is thrust upon us with enormous force. And you see it in the Jewish world, you see it in the Orthodox Jewish world on the websites. Oh, how old was he? Oh, he was 99 years old. So what? So what? Just because he was 99 years old, does that mean he was chayev misa? He had to die? So what? Every moment of life is precious. There's something called chaye shah. We're not talking about people that are on a respirator. We're talking about people that live, that are conscious, that have families, that you're able to converse with, that learn, that daven, that reflect upon their life. Just because a person is 99 years old does not mean he's chayev misa. Nodav Aviyu died as children. One of the chatoim that Chazal highlight was because they said, Mosa yomusu zikeinim elu. Moshe Aaron, you had a very good life. You were very successful. You accomplished incredible things. Your legacy is guaranteed. You will go down in history as the greatest of the great. But it's time for you to step aside and let the younger generation step in and also have a life. Mosa yomusu zikeinim elu. When are you going to die already? Your life is not valuable anymore. You've done your thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, how dare you have such a thought? Just because Moshe Rabbeinu is an old man, just because he accomplished the vast majority of his tafkid, of taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, bringing them to Har Sinai, to give them the Torah and to build the Mishkan, he's accomplished 99% of his mission. That's the reason why he has to die? What a nerve you have. And for that chait, Nodav Va'aviyu perished in a very dramatic way, where the Ribbono Shel Olam made a very powerful statement that people like this have no place in this world, who have such an attitude regarding Zikainen. This is an extremely important lesson when we focus on the horrific tragedy of what we are seeing before us. Just because many of these people are Zikainen, are older people, it doesn't mean doesn't make a difference. The tragedy for a person who's 99 years old is the same tragedy, Rachman Lestan, as a person who's a 20-year-old. It's not their time to die. It's not their time. If it's not their time to die, every moment of life has value. And it's a very great nisoyon not to be influenced by the secular world, and even unfortunately by our own world, where we tend to just, oh, okay, he was 88 years old. All right, listen, who says I'll make it to 88? No, he had a good life, he accomplished. That's not a Torah hashkafa. That hashkafa is the same thing as what Nadav Avihu said, Mosai Yomusu Zikenim Elu. Another yisoy to remember, this is just a general vart, is that there's the contradiction. Not a contradiction, but the Chazal take note, when Moshe Rabbeinu, who was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? No one. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu was everything to us. But when Moshe Rabbeinu died, the Pasuk says, they mourned for Moshe 30 days. Vayitimu yimei b'chi evel Moshe. The days of mourning came to an end. Moshe died. Moshe lived. He died. And after he died, they cried. They mourned. And the Pasuk makes it very, very clear. It's over. It's over. Move on. Move on with life. Yet when Nadav Avihu died, the Pasuk is written B'lashon Osit. Al-Kain V'chol Beis Yisrael Yivku Es Hasreifa Asher Sarav Hashem. The entire Klal Yisrael will cry B'lashon Osit in the future tense. The Sreifa, the fire, in this context, this means the death of the children of Aaron, Asher Sarav Hashem. From this, Chazal learned that the Bechiah for Nadav Avihu never ends. Never ends. Every Yom Kippur, there is an obligation for a person to reflect upon people that you never heard of, we never saw, we don't even know what they were like, Nadav Avihu, to reflect on the tragedy of the death of two young people whose lives were cut short. Now the question is why? If Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, and there was no one in our history greater than Moshe Rabbeinu when he died, the Pasuk says, after he died, it's over. So why should we cry forever over the loss of Nadav Avihu? Every Yom Kippur, a person has to cry for Nadav Avihu. And the answer is very, very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu, after everything is said and done, he lived a full life. He was 120 years. He died when he was supposed to die. He died on the day of his birthday. A man cannot expect to live more than a certain amount of time. A person is put into this world for a period of time, whatever that period of time is. He lives out that time and he leaves. But there are people that unfortunately are taken from this world before their time. And whenever that happens, a person is taken before their time, there is an element of the chol beis Yisrael yivku es hasreifa asher sarav Hashem. It's a bechia that never ends. Today is the first day of Avelus for many, many people. There are many people whose Avelus came to an end Erev Yom Tov. And then over the last 8 days, we all know, who knows how many people died? Who knows? Who can even count how many people died? Last night, they all started sitting Shiva. And you know, they joined the people sitting shiva from, you know, the Avelim from the people who died from before Yom Tov, before Pesach. The common denominator of all of these people is that they all died before their time. No one can say, oh, you know, this doesn't work for me, this type of talk. Oh, really? These people, they were supposed to die at this time. and they really would have gotten sick, you know, 6 months before, they would have much as a whole. It's nonsense, total nonsense, that type of talk. Total nonsense. These people all died before their time. Every single one of these people would have lived more. Some would have lived decades. Some could have lived another 50 years, the younger people. Some could have lived another 10 years. No one knows. One thing is for sure. Al derech hateva, every single person that is listed on these long, long lists died before their time. They are part of Nadav v'Aviv. They're not part of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu died when he was supposed to die. He died a natural death at the end of the allotted time he was given in this world. And when that happens, Vayitimu Yimei Bichi Evel Moshe. The mourning comes to an end. Tam, it's over. Move on with life. But when someone dies before their time, the avelus never, ever ends. These people who died, it never ends. It's going to be with us, whether we like it or not, for the survivors, for the rest of our lives. It's a stain on us. It's something which we don't have any answer. We have no way of dealing with. We have no answer. We have no understanding of why this happened. And it's not for us to understand. What we're supposed to do, I don't know. No one knows what to do. Vayidei Maron, we always say that. There's nothing what to say, nothing what to do. Just do what you're supposed to do. We do what we're anyway supposed to do, to do it better. But it's a tragedy. Today we have to be mishtatef. Today is the first day for hundreds of people. Hundreds of people today are sitting shiva. Many of them for the first time in their lives. They never had this experience of what it means to sit shiva. And today is that first day. Some of them were buried on Chol HaMoed. So there are a lot of funerals happening today. And even again, all the funerals that are happening before, today is the first day of the Avelus. And this Avelus is not your typical Avelus. When you go to a base Ovel, you see an Ovel sitting there. So listen, he died. He died a natural death. He died. What are you going to say? He died, whatever it is, whatever person dies, a natural death, whatever age it is. But something like this was not meant to happen. This is not the way the world works. This is not the way the world operates. This was not meant to happen. The avelus that people are starting today will never end. It's a pasuk. V'chol beis Yisrael yifku b'lashoyim osit. Why? They were young people who were not supposed to die at this time. And that's a very, very frightening Musar Haskel. Okay, let's go to another idea relating to this morbid topic. Moshe Rabbeinu, he approaches Elazar v'Isamar, Banav Hanoisadim, and he says to them, what's going on here? V'esir hakatos dorosh dorash Moshe v'hinei sorof. Why didn't you eat the meat of the carbon chatos? Why was it burnt? And there's a long Gemara on this, and Rashi summarizes, and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, don't you realize we're oinanim? Our brothers died, Nadav Aviu died. If they died, we can't eat. Moshe says, what do you mean you can't eat? You have to eat, because you have to do the avoida. Today is Chayro Hashah. It's true, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't do this. But since today is the first day of the Chanukah San Mishkan, and you have a special dispensation to do the Avodah, to bring the Korbanos, so you have to go. And
do the korbanos 100%. You have to eat the meat of the korban chatos, of the korban. And they politely say to Moshe, Moshe, you're making a mistake. Just because we have a special dispensation to do the avodah, we don't have a special dispensation to eat the meat of the korban chatos. The meat of the korban chatos has to be burnt. And Moshe says, you're right. I made a mistake. You're right. That V'chalte Moshe, the pasuk here says, Revi, V'chalte Moshe b'makom kadosh, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what are you doing? Why didn't you supposed to eat? Madua. Now we'll go further to the Pasuk Yud Zayin. Madua lo yachaltem es achatas bimkoim ha-kodesh. Ki kodesh kodoshim hi. V'yoysa nosan lochem lo seis es avoinu eidu l'chaper alechem lifnei Hashem. And then at the very end they say, V'yidaber Aaron ol Moshe hein hayoim hikrivu es chatosom. When we suffer such tragedy, and Rashi explains, just because we're allowed to offer the sacrifice by doing the shechita, the kabbalah, the hoilocha, and the zrika, and the haktara, does that also give us permission to eat the meat? No, it doesn't. Vayishma Moshe. Moshe heard the argument. Vayitav be'enav. You're right. Correct. Here's a question though. When it comes to the mincha, every korban is accompanied by a mincha. Every korban is accompanied by a mincha. And the mincha, we find, they ate. The pasuk makes it very clear. That even after Vateitse Eish, even after the fire went forth and they died. Let me read you the words of the pasuk. The beginning of Revi, okay, the very beginning of Revi. Vayidaber Moshe el Aaron v'el Elazar v'el Yitamar b'nan of Hanosadim, kichu, take es hamincha, hanoseres me'ishei Hashem, v'ichluha matzois eitzel ha-mizbeach, ki kodesh kodoshim hi, v'achaltem oisa b'mokoyim kodosh. Eat it! Ki chokcha v'chok Bonecha hi meishe Hashem kichein tzuveisi. So the question is, what's going on over here? The only thing we find that it was not eaten was only the meat. The seir hachatos doresh dorash Moshe v'hinei soiraf. Every korban is accompanied by a meal offering. So why is it that the meat of the korban was not eaten? But the mincha, the meal offering, was eaten. And when Moshe Rabbeinu got angry as to why the meat was not eaten, they gave him a very good reason and he accepted it. But that reason should have also been a reason that if being that today we are oinanim, we are in a state of avelus, we're mourners, we should not be permitted to eat the mincha offering. They can offer the mincha offering, they can offer on the mizbeach a kenitza, a small amount, that is the halacha, but why were they allowed to eat the mincha offering? So I want to suggest a very simple answer. And it's very relevant for the matzav, the situation that we find ourselves in today. When a person brings a korban, what do you do? What do you do when you bring a korban? You're basically saying that I've committed a sin and I'm not worthy to live. You put me in this world to serve you, Hashem. I have been unfaithful. I have been unloyal. I no longer deserve to exist. I should perish. I should perish right here and now. I should take myself, I should offer myself on the altar as a sacrifice to you, Hashem, as punishment for my sins. That's really what a person should do. However, Hashem says, not so fast. I didn't create this world that everyone should do an Avera and should give up their lives. Better you should live. I forgive you. But as a symbolic way, as a symbolic way of understanding that you really blew it, you made a big mistake, bring an animal. And the animal should be a replacement, should be in exchange for you. When you offer the animal, you should look at the animal as if it's yourself. I should be the sacrifice, but Hashem does not want human sacrifices. So the animal will stand in my place. This is a very basic approach to understand the purpose of korbanos. It doesn't, of course, come anywhere near to fully explain what a korban is about. We do not have any, we have no understanding of how these things work. But this is just, you know, a teaser, just a sketch, a skeleton outline of what is the purpose of offering a korban. It's I should be the korban. I can't. So in my place, I bring to you, Hashem, an animal. What else do you do when you bring a korban? Every single korban, without exception, is also accompanied by a meal offering. Like we say in the Musaf on Shabbos and Yom Tov. After we mention the korban, the animal sacrifice, we then describe the meal offering that accompanies the animal sacrifice. What is a mincha? A mincha is bread. What is bread? Bread is the staple of life. Kiloy al halechem levado yichyeh ha'adam. It's not just the bread. Bread is life, but you also have to remember ki al kol motzafi Hashem yichyeh ha'adam. But bread is a staple of life. When a person does an avera, there are two parts to deal with the avera. Number one, you've done something very bad. You've done an aver. You have to bring a sacrifice. You should really offer yourself on the mizbech. But don't forget, after you bring the korban, you have to live. You have to live al kiddush Hashem. You bring a mincha to complement the animal sacrifice. A person dies al kiddush Hashem, and a person lives al kiddush Hashem. You've done an avera, so you have to die al kiddush Hashem. But don't forget, you're not going to die. You're going to live. And don't forget that when you finish the animal sacrifice, it's time to live al kiddush Hashem. Aaron's two sons, and Aaron as well, were oinonim. They suffered tragedy. They suffered a tragedy that's hard for us to relate to. Aaron, on the day of the Chanukah HaMishkan, the day which is the source of all blessing in this world, the day when the Ribbono Shel Olam came down to permanently dwell in this world, we have absolutely no hasaga of what this means, to build a bayis for Hashem, a mokayim for him, a place on this world for him to rest his divine presence, to be here in this world, which is the source of all blessing. On that very day, Aaron HaKoyein should suffer the loss of two children in one day. And not just two children. These were two of the most exceptional people who ever existed in this world. Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron, they were greater than us. Hu asher diber Hashem b'kroi v'yekodesh. How could such a tragedy happen? But it happened. And when this tragedy happened, Aaron says to Moshe, Moshe, when we suffer such a tragedy, it's not good to dwell on korbanos. too much tragedy is no good. Don't compound tragedy with tragedy. Whenever a person offers a sacrifice to Hashem, you're focusing on death. I should be the one who dies. Well, guess what? I did die today. My two children died today, or when Elazar and Isamar, when their brothers died, we did die. A part of us died. So we died. We don't even need to bring sacrifices. No, still bring the sacrifice. Okay, we'll bring the sacrifice. But we're not going to eat it. That far we're not going to go. That's already over the top. Adkan. Don't compound death with death. You know, we don't say tachnun at night. Why don't we say tachnun at night? Because tachnun is death. It means you give yourself over to die. Nighttime is dark. It's a time of darkness, of death. It's not a good idea to compound death with death. At night, you don't say tachnun. Chassidim, they don't say tachnun. Because chassidim, they daven mincha at the very, very end of the day, which leads into the night. So once they get Peshkia, the sun already set. It's a sakana to say tachlin at this point in time. Because it's night. Night is a time of danger, it's a time of death. And you want us to go full tachlin and to give up our lives to compound a time of death with death? No. We're not saying tachlin at night. Unfortunately, that became abused because when if you're not saying tachnun at night, if you're davening mincha gedolah at 1:30, then you don't have anything to worry about. Okay, but that's a side point. You don't want to dwell upon something too much, but a mincha is life. It represents to live, the desire to live, to move forward, to accomplish, to heal, to recover, to get up, to stand up again. That's the mincha. Mincha is bread. Bread is life. That answers the question. On this day, the day of the Miluim, Nadav Avihu died. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, even though your sons died, even though your brothers died, do the Avodah. Bring the korbanos. They brought the korbanos, but they said to Moshe, "Moshe will bring the korbanos, but we're not going to eat the korbanos because that's already too much. We can't. There's too much death. We can't deal with it. You can't go and live with death and then add to it by bringing the korbanos, which represents death, and even eating from the korbanos, which further emphasizes and compounds more death. We're not. And Moshe said, you're right. Vayitav be'enei Moshe. But the mincha? The meal offering? Life? That you have to eat. Because you have to go on. At this difficult matzev, where you're surrounded by death, you have to have the courage to eat the mincha. Maybe you're right, you're not going to eat the zevach, but the mincha, which represents life, that you have to strengthen yourself, be mechazik yourself, offer the meal, bring the meal offering, put a small amount, the kemitza, on the mizbeach, and eat it. Eat the leftovers like you're supposed to, even though you're in a state of avelus evaninus. Because life has to go on. Life needs to go on even in the most difficult circumstances. And this clearly explains the difference why the Eseir Hachatos, Doroish Dorash Moshe, the Hine Soirof. Why didn't you eat it? Madua lo yachaltem esachatos bimkoim hakodesh. And they say to Moshe, what are you talking about? We did the avoida, but to eat it? Vatikrena oisi koela viochalti chatos hayoim to eat it hayitab enei Hashem. Vayishma Moshe, you're right. Vayitab enov. But when it comes to the mincha, kichu. Vayidaber Moshe el Aaron v'elozor v'elisam arbonav hanoisorim. They died already. They already died. Bon of Hanoi Sorim. Kichu es ha-mincha Hanoi Seres Meyeshe Hashem. Ve'ichluha. That you still have to eat. That is no excuse. That has to be eaten. Ve'ichluha matzois eitzel ha-mizbech. Ki kodesh kodoshim hi. Ve'achaltem, he repeats himself, Moshe. Ve'achaltem Moshe bimokoim kodosh. Life is sacred. Life must go on even in these extreme, difficult circumstances. And this could not be a more powerful lesson for us in this matziv. We are literally surrounded by death. There's probably not a person here that doesn't personally know someone who died, if not many who died. And if not that, people, you know, everyone knows many people whose parents are sitting, whose parents died, people who are sitting shiva because a relative of theirs died. It's frightening. We're surrounded by death. And it's not easy. It's not easy. And it's not necessarily correct that we should focus too much to compound, to go to an extreme and focus on death. But one lesson from this week's parasha is eat the mincha. Life has to go on. Life is sacred. The mincha has to be eaten no matter what, even in these circumstances. There has to be a rebuilding of the Churban. And of course, as time passes, there's going to be memorial services. We can only begin to imagine what's going to be when everything calms down of Hespedim, for the Yochid, for the Klal. It's going to be a very gloomy future. There's no doubt about it. Of, you know, what kind of memorial services we're going to be attending when everything settles down. But we have to not to forget the mincha goes on. There's a very interesting medrash here. The Medrash says, it's a Ramban, really it's a Ramban. Oh, it's very, very late. Okay, let me just look. All right, you know, it's ready now. I don't want to keep you. So let me put that instead, that Medrash. Let me just wind down with the last remarks, and that is the Haftarah. The Haftarah, Rabbi Yisai, gives us a lot of chizuk this week. It's kedai to look at the Haftarah. The Haftarah talks about death. It talks about David HaMelech, his desire to bring the Oroin Hashem to Ir David, to bring it from its resting place. And as they transport the Oroin Hashem, people die. People die in transporting because they did not have the proper respect for the Aron HaKodesh. And David was very, very distressed over what happened. David made many takonos. And when David made these takonos, after he made these takonos, David succeeded in bringing the Aron Hashem. The Pasuk says, the David Necharker B'chol oiz lifnei Hashem. David danced. He was dancing with all of his might before Hashem. V'David chagur, he was dressed in an ephod bod, in a linen garment. Chazal tell us that an ephod, even though it's one of the garments which is worn by the Kohen Gadol, but special people also wore an ephod. We have over here a situation where there were many people who died.
Vayichar af Hashem be'uza vayakeu sham hu elokim al hashal vayoma sham im aroin hu elokim.
When they were transporting the aroin, Uzza died, other people died, many people died, and David was very, very frightened. David did teshuvah, and when he did teshuvah, he was wearing an ephod bad, and finally, when he was able to bring the aron to the Beis Hashem, he celebrated. The Shelah, the father, the Shelah quotes his father and says, what does it mean an ephod bad, a garment made out of linen? Bud also means alone, a garment that he fashioned when he was all alone. After David suffered defeat, after he suffered avelus, when there was a magefa, people died. And David went into isolation. He was quarantined. He put himself in a self-quarantine. That's what the Shlomo basically says. When there was terrible tragedy in Klal Yisrael, people were dying. David went into quarantine. Ephod, he enveloped himself in a cloak of isolation. And in that matzah of isolation, he was able to look deeply within himself to see what he can do, what in his life needs improvement, what his attitude, what tikkun he can make in his life. And when he was able to come and find that point, that item which he can change, the David mecharker b'chol ois. It led to a situation where he was able to dance, to break forth with every molecule, every bit of strength that he has, to rejoice lifnei Hashem. The David and all of this, the ability to be mecharker b'chol ois, only came because the David chagur ephod bod. Because he wore upon himself a garment of isolation. After the tragedy of witnessing the death of Uzza and all the people that were around the Oroin, and taking the lessons, going within into isolation and dealing with the situation, it's what gave him the koyach to achieve exalted heights of mecharker b'chol ois. And then the next part of the Haftarah describes David's quest to build the Beis HaMikdash. Our Bate Kinoisiois, Bate Midrashois, is the Mikdash Me'at of David HaMelech. When we read this Haftarah, we're reading about ourselves. There could not be a greater message. I mean, it's just the Haftarah of Parsha Shemini leaps off the page like no drasha you've heard from all of the Rabbanim on Torah Anytime and every email and every conference call you've heard the last month. The words of this Haftarah, the simple translation of the words of the Haftarah, are speaking directly to each and every one of us, and it doesn't need any explanation, any drush. It's pshutu kimashmo. There's death and suffering surrounding David. David retreats. He enters into self-quarantine. He studies his neshama. He makes improvements. It gives him the joy, the ois, to be mecharker, b'chol ois lefnei Hashem. And then, is he able to return to the Beis HaMikdash to build for HaKadosh Baruch Hu a new Beis HaMikdash, a new Mokom HaShuas HaShchina? Halavai by us. Unfortunately, we've already experienced the first part of the Haftarah and the second part of the Haftarah. We have to now work on being mecharker b'chol ois and merit very soon to come back to our bate kinosios, bate midrashos, with a new resolve, a new simcha, a new outlook on life, and merit to rezeicha to Yeshuos, refuos, nechamos for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best to you. Be well and stay safe, secure, and everything should be good by everyone. Take care.
Good Shabbos. Wonderful Shabbos.
You too, likewise. Mazel tov. Raul, mazel tov to you on coming to Zeta.
Okay. I feel old now.
No.